Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to A Conversation with Red Pill 78. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. I'm really excited about tonight's interview. We did it Monday, actually. But it's Zach, who we've had him on before. I've been on his show. I'm going to be on his show again, I think November 4th, which is a Saturday. I love Zach. I mean, he's just another one of those solid patriots, and it's becoming increasingly rare. It just speaks truth, and in researches and really puts things in context. So I think you're going to really enjoy this interview tonight. He's got some interesting news to share at the end as well. But before we begin, call out to MyPillow, who's just been an incredible supporter of this channel, of Bards Fest. Mike Lindell is an amazing patriot CEO and walks with Christ in his heart. He's done so much fighting for this nation, probably one of the greatest patriots in our history, spending tens of millions of dollars and literally taking broadsides from our media that is nothing less than Satan's spawn, and trying to destroy his business. So we want to support him as much as possible, always, and it's a great place to buy Christmas gifts. And I always say this because MyPillow's products are not only great quality, they're great value, and you know that one part of your dollars every time you're spending there is going towards liberty and patriots. That's just how they work. So head on over to MyPillow.com/Bards. That's our new page, which I'm super excited about. So they did that for us, and that's thanks to all of you with all the support that we now have a Bards page, along with a few other great patriots out there. Gateway Pundit's another one. But anyway, because I love Gateway Pundit, you know that. Jim Hoff and Joe Hoff, just a great pair that run that whole organization. But anyway, head on over to MyPillow.com/Bards. Use your promo code Bards, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. Get the great savings. It's a great time to get a great savings on my slippers, 50% off. Six-piece towel set right now is, instead of $109.99, it's $39.99. You can get savings on the Giza sheets. Let me tell you, those Giza sheets, I don't know what's in them. I don't know what he does. I don't know what kind of elixir they pour in there in that weave when they do it, but they are straight up magic when you're sleeping on them. And I'm not kidding. The towels, I already mentioned, the pillows are awesome. The comforter's awesome. And there's nothing in those product sets that aren't just great. And people tell me that the dogs, their doggy beds, their dogs get to love them so much they can't get off the doggy bed. So Anyway, great products, great things to do for Christmas, great things to give to those family members that think you're crazy for being pro-America and anti-vax. Give them a little liberty and Christ love through the products you buy. That's a good way of doing it. So anyway, Bards is your promo code, mypillow.com/Bards, B-A-R-D-S. Check it out. Links are always below every podcast. And of course, you can talk to a real operator by calling 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. To get your official sleep counselor, and they'll help, they'll hook you right up. Also is is expeditioncoffee.com, and that's XPED, expeditioncoffee.com. So I have a really important announcement on this tonight. If you head on over there, there's two new products we've added, which I'm super excited about. Okay. So we have the Expedition Coffee, which is the, It's the energy boosting coffee for your health and your gut health. And we have also added the gut health triad, which was to help heal and seal your gut. But now we're adding two new products. One is called Pure 47, which is an all natural, pure silver supplement and colloidal silver type supplement. It's the most pure on the market, and that is fantastic for your health. And we've added an immune booster XP, which is based on the pine cone extract, which is an old, that goes back historically a long ways. Two fantastic products to add for this, for your, to add to your mix of things to defend against the evils of the deep state and the evils of this bio war they're waging on us. And that colloidal silver product is on there is in, and I'm not kidding. It's the best on the market at this point in time. You're not going to get better. Let's just say that it's going to keep you healthy. There's a, you know how these people are. If we say the wrong thing, it's going to go crazy. So check it on out. They're on that site. So go to Expedition Coffee, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com, and you'll find fantastic products there to really boost your health, heal your gut, seal and heal your gut. And that coffee is going to make you just like, I'm telling you, one cup a day, man, I'm cruising. It's great. Clarity all day, that good boost of energy. And it's just super. And they're all just top quality, top notch products. That's, and they're all designed to make you healthy, heal your body, keep your immune system strong, and keep your mental focus clear all day long. Can't get better than that. So again, Expedition, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com. You can also get there by going to bardsfm.com/coffee or clicking on that super cool Expedition Coffee logo, which is ours. That's awesome. I like that. So check it out, Patriots. I think you won't be disappointed. And just really good things to get, especially now in this time of prepping and as we head into the Christmas season, which I guess they're telling us we're going to be short of Chinese goods for Christmas. Can't see that to be a downside. So before we start tonight, I just want to touch on a thing here that's been, I'm going to talk a lot more about it in and around these shows, and we're going to talk a lot about it on Friday night show. But it's really this idea of the traps of hopium, and that's, Zach and I talk at length about this tonight, and I think you'll enjoy this. And it's, if you really think about what I'm going to say, it's kind of this insanity we've arrived at, where a country that's buying for the people, that is in place for the people, that there is a whole part of this which stems from Q, okay, and I'm just saying it, where we're rooting along going, you know, military in the end is the only way, and we're seeing martial law as a positive thing in this event when we know now that probably 50% or 60% of our military has been injected with the bioweapon. So I just want to put this in context that this is not a good thing. I mean, when I'm, and there's nothing in that mix when people, and you hear this hopium nonsense, it's like, well, we're going to have military in the end of the day. I'm going to be blunt. The only soldiers and military personnel that I trust right now, and I mean this, and this is hard for me to say, but I'm absolutely true with what I'm going to say, are those that are standing up against the injection. Everyone else that are staying in and taking that injection, I don't have any trust in them. That bioweapon is, we don't know what it's going to do to people. We do know that with graphene, that there can be, with the 5G network, that they can be influenced, and that these people don't want to believe that. And part of it is once you take the injection, I don't think you have clear head anyway. I don't know what happens to you, but you become, you know, you become part zombie, I think. But the whole part here that's so important to understand is this agenda we're dealing with is a two-part agenda. It's one, it's about depopulation, and those who survive are being transitioned to be transhuman. There's no, there's not like, just a few, maybe we'll do transhumanism. Transhumanism is the agenda being driven by these people. And it is a, it's, I'll discuss a lot more about this on Friday, but this is where we are. So there's really not a choice in this injection. Okay. There is none. We have a moment in time right now where we literally are facing a termination of humanity, which is unbelievable on so many levels, but we're literally facing the termination of humanity, or we stand and we rise together and we crush this. But it's not going to be some gallant, you know, guys on a white horse running in to save the day. If anything, the concern I have right now is that, and I've always been concerned about this, is there was a break in Q about 2019, and it got very different, and there's some really weird stuff about Q that is never proven true, okay? And I'm not saying that Q is all, for those of you that are all like, oh, he's gone against Q, I've always said that there's truth within this, but the danger is when we start to run off these edges with opium, we are walking into traps, and we have to keep our head in this fight. We have to keep focused on what we need to do, walk that path of God, take in information, discern, research, discern, and ultimately follow our path with God. It's just that simple, okay? So there's a lot of information out there that comes from a lot of different sources that are very important to follow and pay attention to. But I see this. I was going through some stuff today with, you know, hopium accounts, and I'm just like, I cannot believe you're actually celebrating an idea of potential martial law. That's insanity, especially with the military right now that is, with the Pentagon that said today they are not budging on their vax policy. Everybody will be injected or they will be expelled. And just another footnote, because it's a big one. I have not seen any statement by any of the big names in our country, any leadership of any kind, has anybody come out in support of the troops that are making a stand against the injection. I don't care whether it's Ted Cruz, President Trump, General Flynn. Nobody is supporting our troops that are making a stand against this injection. And that is something we need to be demanding, okay? So, without further ado, patriots, I'm going to bring on this great conversation that I had with Zach of Red Pill 78. Hey, patriots, this is going to be a great interview. And the reason it's going to be a great interview, it's because it's one of our favorite co-patriots who's started in the trenches like a few of us and has built a great base of truth and knowledge and faith, and that's Zach from Red Pill 78. And Zach's got a lot to share today, and we're going to have a great conversation. Zach, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm awesome, Scott. Thank you so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure. Glad to be here with a fellow compatriot.
Let's start with Bard's Fest, because it was one of the great things for me with Bard's Fest is when we looked through the whole media pool, and there was a lot of great people there. There's really only kind of two, or from the side of like the hard stuff that we've gone through, which started with Q and all this other, you were the only one there that was in that, which I call the, you know, the trenches. We also had resistance chicks, which were awesome.
Oh yeah, good girl.
But you're like one of the few that was there. And I have to say, honestly, and my opinion, probably a little biased, but you're also one of the few that have stayed true to the place of get the facts and question everything without building out a lot of stories of hopium. Mm-hmm. You know, that's got to be a bit of a challenge going forward, I would assume. I mean, I think we all face that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And the longer that this drags out, you know, I think the more difficult it becomes. I mean, unfortunately, not everybody that listens is interested in straight shooting. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people who want to jump on that hopium train. I'm actually, I don't know, maybe it's just who I am and it's the way I see things. But for the people out there who do just kind of consistently shovel out what I would consider to be that garbage hopium stuff, it's frustrating to see. And I wonder like how people can see it. Oh, you know, and people are saying that they're getting inside information or that there's this new quantum financial system coming. Everybody's debts are going to get paid off. And, you know, they keep giving these various dates for President Trump to come back. And I was saying this in the chat last night. You know, I'm sorry to say this, but, you know, President Trump isn't going to save us. I mean, it's not like he's going to ride in like a knight in shining armor and suddenly, you know, pull out Excalibur and the deep state's going to drop. I mean, this is incumbent upon us. It's only we, the people, that are going to be able to have a measurable effect on this. And yeah, you know, I mean, it's like I feel that I have a responsibility, not only to myself, but to the audience, to be realistic about this stuff. We're talking about a long enough timeline, I think, that, you know, it does skew towards justice. And I think that as long as we are proactive and we actually do get involved, because I've said this a bunch, the left had us beat on activism. They had us beat on grassroots efforts. And we were kind of just focused on our lives and just the rigors of our jobs and our family. And we believed that that everything was going to be okay because this is America and there's special things that are enshrined. But our complacency allowed them to gain the upper hand and to get the advantage. And we've seen in recent years what the devastating penalties are for that. So, you know, very specifically, there is a system that can be implemented, that we can be involved in, that can allow us to gain ground and can allow us to help bring about that justice that we want to see. But if we're not actively involved in it, then I guarantee things are going to continue on the way that they are. And I'm always super careful about the way I say things because there are people who are just so angry, they're ready to go out and, you know, just do whatever. Doesn't matter. Somebody is going to be, you know, call them to arms and then, and that's it. People are just frustrated. And I understand that. But we have to be true to ourselves and we have to be true to what the foundation of America really means. And the part that I have really clung to has been what you just said, you know, like seek the truth and question everything. And I mean, that's just who I've always been. And I appreciate you saying it. I was actually surprised that there weren't more people there from our side of the trench.
I don't know how all that came together, but it came together well. I will say that it was a nice group.
Yeah.
I will say that. And, you know, I was talking on my show the other night and just, you know, telling Patriots and all, you know, in all truth, I think that, and I don't know if you're in this group, but I'm just saying there was points after November 3rd, it seemed very likely that we were going to see an overturn of the election. It just seemed because the idea of a coup was so, I mean, it was so evident of what had happened. And even myself, I would say I got kind of, it opened my eyes to a deeper level of how big this corruption is, what I mean, previously known as a conspiracy, but it was, I've been stunned, even as I guess, even for watching how we've seen the corruption permeate through the medical, through the educational, through the legal. We knew it was there, but I'd never visualized it to the systemic depth that it's in until we really got into this post President Trump era and really saw how they accelerated the machine so quickly. So it was an eye opener and a good, good reminder too, of not going way out on the edge too far on that. You know, it's all going to be better because we're going to see mass arrests and everything's going to be good again. I mean, that's one of the biggest traps I think people are in right now.
I absolutely agree. And yes, I am in that exact same segment. So once November, came and went, and it was pretty clear to me, and I think to just about everybody else, exactly what had happened. I was definitely thinking that the election was going to be overturned. I was thinking, you know, hey, this is the perfect opportunity. We saw the fraud. I mean, it's on national television. We've got all of these witnesses. You know, President Trump, you've only got so much time to act. You've got to do it right now. And I thought it was going to happen because, you know, in that moment, I, realizing just how deep the corruption was and how coordinated every aspect of it, you know, was built throughout the system. I believe that if we got to a certain point, then perhaps it might be the point of no return, and something was going to happen. And there was enough people saying that they thought it was going to happen too. And people that, you know, that I believe could potentially have actual connections to these things, you know, and not people necessarily directly in our movement or in the podcast scene, but people who had been involved with politics for a long time. They were truly believing the same thing. And getting to January 20th, well, going through January 6th and then getting to January 20th and watching just the way that everything accelerated. Yeah, I was a little bit shocked. I'll admit it. I truly did believe that there must have been a greater framework that had been created throughout the Trump administration, and that, you know, the White Hats are, you know, the people that are America First that were in the federal government. I thought that, man, there's no way that they're going to let this happen, but obviously it did. And now here we are. And I kind of see it from a different perspective now that we're living in the mirror world.
Well, it's a true statement. I think one of the things I find interesting is, as you said, I think there was a great infrastructure built around President Trump. I think it's, and yes, this is my opinion.
Yeah.
And that is that I think it's still active in a very stealth fashion. Cliff High, I don't know if you've ever listened to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does an exceptional job of framing it as self-organizing communities, which I think is an exact thing of what we're witnessing.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of that happened because of President Trump's mobilization of the base to get people to really take ownership of being an American patriot again. The part that I think for myself, when I look at this, and as I say, I've been kind of doing this, I'm sure you as well. I mean, my look at this goes way back, way before Q. And I just had not visualized a cabal corruption, if you will, that would literally go from, on so many domains, go from its global and national points down to your most local level. And when you look at that from that perspective, you realize that one man and a few bunch of white hats can't take that over. You, in a true counterinsurgency sense, if the people don't do their job, all is literally lost, and the people have to stand up. And I think that's really where we are now, in a very brutal awakening to say, look, here's what it is. We've done everything we can. There is a point in here somewhere. I wish I could find the clip. And it was near the end of his 2020 campaign. And he made this exact comment: we have done all we can to prepare for the storm. And it just struck me. I was like, okay, everything they've done now is in place. And from that point forward, it's up to the people.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. That's the same place that I'm at too. Yeah, there certainly was a white hat infrastructure that was built up. And yes, definitely going decades, you know, earlier than Trump, earlier than Q. And this was kind of the culmination of it, because the final piece that needed to happen was that galvanization of the not only the conservative base, but also the American people, the people that have, since the advent of the Biden presidency, realized just how far that corruption extended, just how corrupt everyone is that now are running the government, and how badly we need to extricate ourselves from this horrific situation that we're in right now. You know, one of the key lines from the Post is sometimes you can't tell people, you have to show them. And the American people had to be shown what could potentially happen if we were in this type of situation, and if we ever allowed it to get to that place ever again. So, yeah, I think that I honestly believe that this was the plan, because if President Trump would have remained in office, if he would have, you know, been able to arrest a certain amount of people, seemingly put a shiny bow on a brand new America with, you know, the at least some corrupt people going to jail, inevitably there would have been a ton more behind the scenes that probably were compromised by China, would be actively working to help the cabal and, you know, this globalization effort that we're seeing right now. And they would have continued to undermine Trump and whatever this new America would have been under that, you know, that same regime. And the only way that we could really get rid of it is if the people decide that they've had enough and they're not going to allow it anymore. And the only way that can happen is for a significant number of the people here to fully wake up, realize just how massive it was, and not just remain in that, you know, gorgeous complacency. Life was good under Trump. Now life is bad under Biden, and that's universal. It's not just bad for conservatives anymore. The media, the technology companies, the government, it's across the board, you know, whether we're talking about the economy or the mandates or just the vaccine itself. I mean, there are just so many pieces that are chipping away at anything that's good in our lives. And we can take it back to a single point. You know, Joe Biden is the president, but he's being controlled. He's a figurehead. And the people that are pulling those strings are the same people that were working against Trump, the same people that were trying to enslave us throughout the history of America, and who now, because they finally think they've gotten past the point where Trump was in office and he was working to save America, they think that they've got to go as fast as they possibly can to make sure that something like that doesn't ever happen again. And I don't think that we truly would have solved the problem if President Trump would have stuck around and America hadn't come out of our slumber. There was a lot of people during the Trump administration who were totally based, totally aware, totally red-pilled. But I think a lot more people are based today as a result directly of what Biden and his puppet masters have been doing.
Oh, I agree. And I think that's well said, because when we look at some of the change in attitude towards the mask and the injection,
mm-hmm.
many in the Trump base were pro-injection and disregarded the mask as a big deal. And I just know that because of the amount of attacks I got from people I knew. They were like, you're overreacting. You know, this is not such a big deal. It's all going to go away. You know, even things like, you know, it's all going to be a saline shot. And it's like, okay, you know, whatever, you know. But today that opening is, and we're seeing it, even those that have taken the shot are like, wow, this is not what we thought it was, right? And so you're seeing from the conservative to some of the conservatives to the moderates all the way over to the other side, this sort of oppression that's now hitting their lives very personally and very directly, it has shaken the tree in a good way of what it is that you're living in and what's about ready to happen and why you have to stand up.
I totally agree. And, you know, I never knew exactly what to expect with the vaccines, the injections, the jabs, but I was never part of the group that thought that it was simply going to be innocuous. I was worried that it was going to be what we're seeing now. You know, I had somebody in my chat last night that was calling me a coward because I'm not, I guess, bashing Trump on a daily basis because of you know, his support for the vaccines. I've always said this is like the number one thing, if there was anything that bothered me about the Trump administration. You know, why President Trump is obviously an intelligent guy. Why would he allow this vaccine, clearly a depopulation agenda, to be pushed out to the masses and for people to take it? I don't know what the breakdown is of conservatives that were willing to take the vaccine just because they were told to, or who maybe thought that everything was going to be okay because Trump said we could trust it. But I've never been a vaccine guy. I've had a vaccine exemption for a couple of decades since my daughter was born. She's got one too. And I was never going to be a person that took it. But you know, what I can tell you is that Trump didn't create the vaccine. I mean, he's certainly not a doctor or a virologist or an epidemiologist. So, you know, he was president of the United States. He had advisors. There are people that are running these departments. And what does he know? Maybe he wasn't versed in the dangers of vaccines previously. I don't know. I never spoke to him about it. I don't know anybody who has. I think it's clear that there's an agenda. I think it's clear that the people who are pushing the agenda were also the people who were advising Trump. So Trump was told he could trust the vaccine. They pushed it out. And now a lot of people are realizing that that was a bad idea. Yeah. Not only for President Trump to trust what he was told, but for the people who believed that everything was going to be okay with it. And, you know, I think that's a pretty powerful statement. I mean, the jabs don't inoculate you against COVID-19. They make it far more likely that you're going to contract it and die. Ipso facto, Colin Powell dying this morning, double vaccinated, dies from COVID. Plenty of people.
Sorry, I'm just, I'm not laughing. I shouldn't laugh over a death, but this is one of the biggest epic media, like, failures ever. I'm reading earlier, Fox News is scrambling to start erasing tweets because they don't want the efficacy of the jab to be linked to Colin Powell. It's like, the guy got double vaxxed. He was one of the first ones to do it, made a big deal out of it. Now he's dead from COVID. I mean, what do you want me to say? It's just like, okay, you know, it's in your face now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the true nature of it is so obvious. I mean, clearly the media doesn't want to talk about much. They're trying to say that it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Well, it's obvious that it's a pandemic of the vaccinated at this point. Like a vast majority of COVID hospitalizations are of people who have been double vaccinated. It's more likely that as an unvaccinated person, somebody who has been vaccinated is going to get us sick. And I want to say, this is what I think happened at Bard's Fest, Scott, because I learned while I was there, and I spoke to some of the people that were, on the lookout. There was a double vaccinated person who was an interloper of sorts, was there specifically to cover it for her ultra left wing Twitter account and to go on various podcasts that denigrate people in our segment of the Truth and Freedom Movement. And she was there for the whole time. She was pressing the flesh. She was holding hands when we prayed. But she was also the only person who wasn't closing her eyes or, you know, actually praying. Couldn't say amen. Couldn't say God bless. And if I had to guess as to why we got sick, I would imagine it would be from her. Because none of the attendees were sick. None of the people who went there were anything but educated people who take care of themselves. And, you know, probably a vast majority of them have been able to weather the length of this entire scamdemic without even getting sick. I haven't been sick since the whole COVID nonsense started. Maybe that's because I haven't left the house all that much just by nature of my job, but I haven't needed to. But I have done, a couple of events all throughout the country. And this is the only one where I know somebody was able to sneak in because they pretended to be somebody who believes the same things we do. And she is definitely double vexed. Yeah.
That's pretty much my framing right there. I didn't know about her specifically. There was another guy that 1AP was tracking that wandered in from Pennsylvania that didn't even know what Bard's FM was, and he was there and he was double vaxxed. So, but I think there was a few of them, and I agree with you exactly what you just said, because that's essentially, I don't see it as so much a conspiracy as in it is the point that they're part of these people's lives, that they think that they're going to walk around double vaxxed and think that they're normal. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
And like you point out, I mean, the whistleblower on Dell Bigtree's show a couple days ago was making it clear that it was 90% of the people entering into the hospital have been vaccinated.
Yep.
Or double injected. And that's coming out all over the world. We see that. So we know that this is now what they're calling this Delta breakthrough, or whatever they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this breakthrough variant this isn't a breakthrough variant. This is an extension of the failure of the injection because the immune system's been compromised. But I do agree with you on the point that when you come that hand-to-hand contact, I mean, I literally, I think I shook everybody's hand at Bard's Fest at least once, maybe two or three times because of when we were moving in and out, right? So, you know, it's like, well, okay, so you're exposed and I get it. But the most important thing is we move through it without having to race to the hospital and to expose ourselves to whatever death situation that is. And
exactly.
There were a couple consequences of that. I mean, one of the Patriots that was there did get sick and unfortunately went to the hospital and he died last week, but it wasn't because of COVID. Mm. He died because of Redemsphere and the ventilator.
Oh, gosh. No, I hadn't heard that. That's awful.
There's real consequences with anything that we do, whether it is flu, cold, pneumonia, whatever these things are, if you're not treated correctly. And that's where, again, we kind of go back to this unbelievable level of corruption where hospitals have literally moved away from their Hippocratic oath.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gone directly into that one solution fits everybody and everybody's going to be sick. That's really their mentality right now. And you're going to get these protocols, nothing else. And we're not going to question it. And as a result, they've literally become killing fields.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, even more than that, I mean, they're getting paid to use these protocols. And these are not unintelligent people. I mean, these are very smart people. They went to medical school. They have been practicing medicine for a very long time, whether it's doctors or nurses or anything in between. Their entire lives are based around supposedly making people better and protocols that they should be well aware of. And with the number of deaths that we've seen from people who enter the hospital and the symptoms that develop, I mean, you compare them against the symptoms and the studies of remdesivir in Africa that Brian Artis was on the show the other night, 53% of the people that they gave remdesivir to died, and they all had kidney failure. And people are developing kidney failure in the hospitals with, you know, supposed COVID diagnosis, and then their lungs fill up with fluid because they can't process the fluid out, and they're on a ventilator, and there you go, they die. You know, and doctors have come forward before to say, we know that as soon as we put somebody on a ventilator, that's a death sentence. You know, your body's going to shut down. You know, it's as much as we know about this, it's still shocking to see when people end up so sick that they can't do anything. I will be totally honest. I was so sick for the first week, Scott, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't get myself the necessary treatment to be able to heal myself. None of the doctors around here or even the pharmacies, when I got in touch with a telehealth doctor, would prescribe me hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. Luckily, I had a friend who had a stash of ivermectin. He sent it to me. I also had chlorine dioxide, but I just didn't even think about it because I was so ill. I was just laying on the couch. But as soon as I got the remdesivir, and then I started taking chlorine dioxide at the same time, I was 100% better. I was up and I was working again in 5 days. And it's so disgusting to think that there's a number of medicines and different protocols using just, you know, supplements and stuff that are available to people that I know doctors are well aware of, but they choose not to use them. They completely ignore them because of these outdated and inadequate protocols that are given to them by Fauci and the NIH and the CDC, and they're getting paid tens of thousands of dollars. They're getting paid bonuses on a daily basis the longer somebody stays in the hospital on a ventilator. And they are killing people. They are guilty of genocide. And my heart goes out to that guy who ended up in the hospital. I can understand it. I don't know what would have happened to me if I hadn't been able to get the medicine that I needed to heal myself. I might have ended up in the hospital because, you know, maybe somebody wouldn't have realized what was going on, thinking that it was the best thing to do. So, you know, I'm very lucky. And I suggest that everybody, you know, take it seriously. I mean, have what you need on hand because, you know, you do take a risk when you go out. It might not be COVID. It could be anything at all. But it's a testament to the fact that we need to remain healthy. We got to take care of our bodies. And we have to be responsible for our own health care. You know, I don't trust doctors. Obviously, there are a lot of good ones. I met them and I interviewed them at Bard's Fest. I know that they exist. But the sad fact is that they are few and far between. And I think the vast majority of them are completely bought into this COVID lie, to the treatment lie. And if they're not ignorant, then they are willfully complicit because of the money aspect. And I hate saying that, but, you know, that's the case.
Well, I think you're dead on. I mean, this is what has really been revealed, is just how few medical doctors are willing to step up and step out of the lane and start looking at a broad spectrum of treatments for the betterment of healing, not for the promotion of a new pharma drug, right?
Yeah.
And it's interesting what you just said about taking care of our own health. And one of the big initiatives, as you know, I'm pushing forward, and we're literally this week beginning the migration over to Cloud Hub, which is county by county. And there's 7 pillars of that. Well, pillar number 5, I've just been beating home, because that is health and wellness. And it's exactly as you say. It's like we have to acquire the things we need in our lives to take care of ourselves. But also in this time when we're starting to see supply chain breakdowns, we need to be acquiring enough that we can be able to help our circles of friends and families, or even in the neighborhood. Because it is, it just like you said, you were able to get it from somebody, right? And, and I had a little bit with me at Bard's Fest, but I ran out of my ivermectin and the HCQ in the first couple of days. I'm not expecting to be there as long as I was, because I was pretty wiped out. And you know, mine was a combination of exhaustion and I got sick. But it was through that process of the next week, you know, you do have to ask yourself, you know, if you were in a compromised health situation and you didn't have the resources, something that could be quickly dealt with proper treatment, which would include ivermectin, HCQ, others, you know, nebulizers, even hyperbaric chambers, these low oxygen input, there are all these things that are non-invasive. If you were being forced into a hospital and you are looking at a crisis, and I agree with you 100%, this is literally a crime against humanity. This is a genocide and a depopulation event. And for me, that's probably, and I see it both on the patriot side and the non-patriot side. When I say that, like, you read through Telegram or read any of the conservative media or read any of the liberal media, I will say moderated liberal media that's beginning to wake up. The simple fact that what you just said, that this is a depopulation event, is the hardest thing for people to accept, because they still want to play this game of saying the vax is a choice. And as I say on my show, so is suicide. It's just, we all have choices, but what are we willing to accept, right?
Yeah. No, exactly. And you know, one of the things that I also want people to remember in this stuff is that preparation is one thing, but living in fear is another. You know, what you said, it doesn't matter what it is. You take a gamble every time you go outside, every time you touch a surface, and that's just a fact of life. You know, I never lived in fear of what was going to happen to me. I'm comfortable if I die tomorrow or if I die, you know, many, many years into the future. But you know, everything that we're seeing is 100% treatable. It's just a matter of getting the right treatment in an adequate amount of time. And, you know, even when it comes down to what's going to happen with the election, what's happening with all of these investigations, what's going to happen with Durham, whatever is meant to happen is going to happen. I sure hope that everything is going to turn out the way that I want it to turn out. But I've learned over the years that most often it just ends up turning out the way that God needs it to turn out. And hopefully that's going to be what's best for me and for my, you know, future generations and everybody else that we have in this movement. But the actions of these evil people have to be a lesson for us in that self-determination, you know, and learning what it is that we can do, not only in our community, not only for our country, but in our homes, for ourselves, And when it comes down to learning and getting as much information as possible, it's doing the research. You know, I say that a lot. I tell people, you know, I want you to find the information on your own. I will point you in the right direction. I want you to be able to find this stuff out, because God forbid the power does go out. God forbid we get disconnected from people. God forbid you haven't done the research already. You don't know what you're supposed to do next. When I got sick and, you know, and I told people that ivermectin healed me, I got so many messages from people, you know, asking me how to find ivermectin online or where to go to find it. And I had already provided a whole bunch of resources. And I'm like, you know, just look in the description of the video. It's in every single video. And I feel like there is still like a contingent out there that are so used to information being spoon-fed to them. And that's why, another reason why we have people just kind of blindly following along with some of this hopium stuff, that they, you know, they just want it to be given to them. But I don't think that's healthy. I think that that's kind of symptomatic of what the internet information age has done to us. It's kind of made us lazy in that respect.
And I fully agree. Keep going.
Yeah. No, it's okay. And so, you know, I look at a lot of these things. I mean, it's all connected. We're this is a big movie. We're watching a lot of different scenes and a lot of different times. And I think that giving people that desire and the ability to go out and do it for themselves, I think that that is absolutely critical. You know, I said earlier, people had gotten complacent. American life, you know, a lot of things provided for us, many things very, very good, despite some of the obvious corruption and the evil, but having it all stripped away as a result of, you know, what's happened in the last year, I'm hoping that it's going to be a net positive effect. And I think that this is part of that awakening that we're all kind of experiencing, and, you know, some of us just coming to it later than others.
I fully agree, Zach. I think that, you know, I've been talking a lot. Well, I was recently again, but really from the beginning, as I said, you know, what we're really, as I see it, we're really experiencing in not such a, it is a Exodus 2.0, and that isn't necessarily biblically correct in the way things are, but effectively that's when you look at the experience of people, we're literally being pushed out. And it's just as it happened in after the final plague, when the Egyptians were saying, you know, you must leave because you'll kill us all. And they're pushing them out. We're experiencing that. And I think that this is one of the biggest challenges in this moment, is for people to not try to cling on to what's dying, and now to embrace what's before them. And that requires not a hopium issue, it requires a deep faith issue. You know, you said it perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what we want for ourselves isn't necessarily what we'll get, because what we'll get was what God desires. And that and that process in itself, when we look at the whole story of Exodus, it's quite interesting from that lens, because it was 40 years of wandering before things started to settle down. That is, in my opinion, that's kind of where we are today, is that we're in this place of breaking away, where it's a very painful separation from a very well-planned and deeply integrated cabal system that literally controls perception from the time you're born to the time you die, and all these other layers of control, and we're ripping away from that. And so the inclination is to try to reach back and say, yes, but this is unjust. It's like, no, it's not that it's unjust. It's what you're seeing is it's what it always was. You're seeing the true lens and picture of what you're dealing with. They're just not hiding it anymore. So the choice is to make is, do you still want to participate in it, or do you want to walk free?
Oh, yeah. No, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. You know, for a lot of people, it's easier to live in the past, you know, to look back and say, I want things to be the way that they were. But, you know, we are moving into something that is wholly different. And I think that is, you know, that's exactly what we need. And we have to look forward, and we have to embrace that. Because otherwise, if you get stuck in the past, if you just get hung up on the fact that things didn't go your way, or you're angry that somebody didn't do or say something that you thought that they should, you know, I mean, this is why we have these platforms. I think there's a lot of people out there who have found their voice in the last couple of years, and it's just an incredible thing to see. And we have to keep moving forward. I mean, the world that we are in is not the world that we were living in, and I believe it's not going to be the world that we live in the future. I have no idea how long that's going to take, but I mean, when we look at history, we're talking about centuries of this, this system of control put in place and executed by this global criminal cabal. I think that we're closer than we ever have been to moving past it and to create the world that we're hoping to see and that, you know, that we need. But yeah, it's not going to happen on anybody's timeline except for the big guy. That's the long and the short of it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, Zach, you've got some big things going on in your life. You've got some changes coming up. And I know that you're going to be at a festival coming up. What's going on there?
Yeah. So, this week on Tuesday, I fly out with Lisa, Red Pill Girlfriend. We're going to Las Vegas for another event. This is called the Patriot Double Down. There's going to be a lot of great people there, as generally is at events such as this. And I'll be speaking. I'll be doing a couple of panels, and I will still be putting out shows. I don't know if we said this on the air or off the air, but I still have not been able to get out all of the interviews. I think I interviewed about 20 people while I was at Bard's Fest. And I don't want to put them out all at once. I want to make sure that people actually watch them. You know, you do an info dump and maybe people are going to check 10% of what you throw out there. So each and every one of those conversations was so important. So I've been slowly releasing them since, we were there in Missouri. But yeah, I'm looking forward to being able to interview more people on site there, get out and meet a whole bunch of people who watched the show. I did another event before Bard's Fest back in May, and I was shocked at the number of people who came because I was going to be there who knew who I was. It was I guess that was the first time that I had ever done anything like that. And so it was really cool. It's a neat experience to kind of get out from behind the keyboard and actually get out there in the real world. And I think that, you know, not only is it a humbling experience, but it's a beautiful thing because you don't necessarily realize the impact that you have the potential to impart to people just producing content, putting it out there. Of course, you can see the number of people watching or listening. You can take a look at the chat. You know, people are invested. You get positive and negative feedback, but there's really something to be said about in-person gatherings. And I know we talked about this when I was at Bard's Fest, but it's something that we as a community needed so badly. And, I'm really glad that people like you and the organizers, John and Amy, of this event are out there doing that. I'm hoping that we're going to have additional Bard's Fest in the future, because I will definitely be there. But beyond that, as soon as we get back from Las Vegas, then we are moving from up here in the Midwest. We are currently, Lisa and I are in two different states. So I had to hire a moving company to move all of the possessions from the house in Ohio, and then all of the possessions from my house in Michigan. And then they are being driven down to Florida. And and so we're going to be moving there. And I'm super excited to be living in a state where I could be relatively safely convinced that most of the people down there are going to be like-minded people, aligned theologically, philosophically, politically, and I'm going to be part of a larger community. There's so many people who watch the show who are Florida residents and who've reached out, just been so friendly, letting me know that I can, I can stay there if I need to. I can come just check out their property, or they'll show me around, tell me what's cool to do. I'm really like a big like camping, hiking, biking guy. The area where we're living, there's going to be a ton of parks and tons of trails and stuff. So I'm looking forward to getting outside. I am at this point in my life, Scott, I think I'm about done with Michigan winters. pretty much this full section of the Midwest, it can get pretty bitterly cold. And I know I'm walking into hurricane country, but, I'm okay with that. A little bit of rain never hurt anybody. But, that's probably the biggest thing, making this move and continuing to keep the show going the whole time. That's my plan. I'm, part of, this event and then the Bards Fest videos that I'm still putting out. I'm going to be releasing those during the week because I'm not going to be able to produce my regular content. And, it's going to be great. This next year, I think 2022 is going to be a lot better than 2020 and 2021. And I'm just looking forward to seeing what we continue to do and how we grow as a community.
I think that's dead on and very well said. I mean, I'm excited for you too, by the way. I mean, that's just, moves are a great thing and change is good. I moved back to Oregon in 2017 and was actually going to Florida and then decided to come back at the invite of my parents. I mean, we get along great, but they'd asked if I wanted to come back home and be in the home where I grew up. And I was like, yeah, this is a good time. Really happy I did. I've never looked back. And it's interesting what you're saying because I have traditionally been a very outdoor guy, whatever that is. And with this last year, really since the last couple of years, that has been thrown to the wayside because of all the insanity that we've been dealing with, especially since November 3rd, right? This winter is really exciting. I mean, I've been getting some of my equipment together and, I'm looking forward to getting back outside to hunting and hiking and snowshoeing and things like that. And then in the spring, the same without the snowshoes, obviously. But it's indicative of a deeper change, I think, that we're feeling. And it's that we're starting to get into a pace, like you said, and the movement is starting to take legs. To your point of the Bards Fest, there are going to be more Bards Fest. We're just right now, between now and kind of where I felt really strongly about is right now through probably February, maybe as late as March, I just feel it's very important that people stay very local to their communities as much as they can to start building that, getting themselves settled like you're doing into good places, whatever that means, and really get the foundation underneath them so that when we do that, I think that we're planning on doing is a county by county version, which is going to be regional. And then we'll go to, and then we'll do our annual fest, Bards Fest is an annual event now. So it's going to be kind of building up to that. And we want you part of that all the way through. It'd be great.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And, with regard to the county by county stuff, I know about your initiative. I'm already keyed in with people down there in my new home county, and I'm really looking forward to being active down there publicly as well.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, Zach, you've got some great things coming up, and we're definitely going to want to have you back on the show constantly.
Likewise.
But we always close with a prayer, and if it's okay, I'll do a prayer.
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time that we've come together and once again brought another great voice onto this channel to share with patriots, one that we all respect deeply, and Zach and his pursuit of truth and his strength and faith. And we just ask for you to continue to guide him and protect him in all he does, and protect he and Lisa as they move forward in their lives, and just give them the guidance and strength that they're going to need to continue that walk of truth and constantly pushing that strength out there to lead patriots to the right path and not be pulled away with the many deceptions and intimidations or attractions that may be out there, but to stay true to the path of love of you and the love of truth. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Zach, super exciting for what you've got coming up. I really want to get patriots to encourage them to follow you during your event. Are you going to be doing the live streaming next week, or is it just going to be when you go to Vegas?
Yeah, here's the thing. You never know what the internet's going to be like on site at a place like this. My intention is certainly to do a number of live streams from there, whether it's at my regularly, I already know I have interviews for my regularly scheduled times, and that's going to play, and I'll be in the chat and stuff. But yeah, throughout the day, I'm hoping to be able to do some streaming live from inside the hotel and inside the vent, for sure.
That's awesome. Well, again, we'll encourage everybody to go on over there and just wish you the best in the coming weeks. And we'll look forward to having you back on in the real near future.
Well, yep. Likewise. Can't wait to have you back as well.
All right. Well, sounds good, Zach. Have a blessed day and God bless.
Thanks, Scott. God bless.
Well, Patriots, that was Zach from Red Pill 78. Great Patriot, great researcher, great voice in this movement. And he's over in Vegas at that event there right now. And I don't know if it started yet, but anyway, he's going to be there at least for this weekend. So we check him out, and he'll be doing his shows and live streams as well. So just another great voice to continue to, as we work together to continue to press truth. My respect for Zach is centers on so much on the fact that, as you hear me talk a lot about it, I mean, keeping ourselves centered on truth and avoiding the traps of hopium. And it's that sort of candid discussions that we can have where, you know, we've all been through different moments of trying to hope and wish for bigger things. But right now, more than ever, we really have to keep that focus on the truth and keep that our eyes literally on Christ and in the cross as we move forward here, because it's going to get dicey. It's going to get crazy going up, and crazy sometimes inverted more than it already is at others, you know. And we just have to keep our perspective on really where we're going here. I revert back to the point where, as the Israelites leave Egypt, it's important to always go back to that. They understood what they were trying to go to. They didn't know where or how they were going to get there. And I think that's really important to keep in perspective right here. We are seeing this nasty, evil cabal do just insidious things. And ultimately, the main issue on all of this is that we are the difference between them winning and us winning. The difference that we make is whether we comply. And it's literally that simple. And the more that people comply, the more that they have strength. I mean, it went something like this today. It was a guy that had a sign at a rally, and it said something like this. It said, "You took the vax because you wanted to go back to normal and get your freedoms here. This tyranny continues because you chose to try to go back to normal," right? The biggest thing that we have to keep in mind is anything that you perceive from the past in that life is over. We were all transformed at a certain point, it depends now what path we're going to follow. And where we're headed on this is a very unique place. But there's no going back, right? So we're forward. It's just a difference of, are you going to go forward and follow those lecherous concepts of money and obsessions with greed and all those things and forms that take, which is all part of a dead and dying or dead world. And that means that as it is remade, it is not going to be remade in your benefit. Or are we going to pursue that path with God and Christ in our heart and stay true to that path no matter what the challenges are? And that's, to me, the only path to take. So anyway, thank you for joining tonight. It was a great conversation with Zach. Tomorrow night, we're going to have Pastor Travis Graham on. I think you'll really enjoy that discussion. We dig in hard to Paul and the home churches tomorrow night, and he has some fantastic insight on all of that. And I think I'm excited about that interview. Next week, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, Dr. Lee Merritt, and I'll see if I can get Tom Renz on next week. So we've got a good lineup here for the next couple of weeks. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. This is a wonderful time for us to be alive and to be in this moment where God is revealing so much to us in the truths of what we actually were. As we've defied this moment, we have learned what the real sense and objective of these people are. And it's, you can't miss it now. It's in the light. our faith and our prayers keep us tight to God and keep us solid on that rock of faith. And God is with us. He's never going to forsake us. Our biggest challenge, as always, is never to doubt God. And in that process, in addition to not doubting God, is to try to take on this world on ourselves, which is not doubting God, but it's keeping God out of the loop. Everything we do is through him, everything. And whether it's get up in the morning and make your coffee or whether it's going to the grocery store to buy an apple, right? All these things, everything that we do is part of the process that we put through God. So keep that faith and keep that focus. God's going to win this. He's got it, man. He's going to nail it. But the beautiful thing is he's moving through us and showing us what is before him. As he works through us to defeat this, he's teaching us how to be greater than we are. And it's an amazing walk. So when you get down, if things get a little heavy, just take a few moments. I mean, pray and tell God you need some help and be honest with him in where you are in your heart. And it's not going to go away right away. It's not like you're going to say, oh, everything's good now. No, it's going to be challenging. It might be weeks. It could be, you know, it could be a while before you see some of that go away or that burden lifted. But at least you have that communication because he's there for us. And it's through Christ and that relationship that we truly heal. So see you this evening for Fishers of Men. Until then or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face.
It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.